Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Tired of all the sunshine and good weather? Looking for a real American vacation? Visit the shining jewel in the Rust Belt crown, Carcer City. It's a real man's vacation. The pride of a nation is in Carcer City. It's steel, ice, and poverty. Spend a romantic evening in the beauty of the nighttime river glow at the Flaming River. Watch real men who make things lose their jobs and fight on our special Closing the Mill guided tour. Come see what we're really made of. This is real America. Drunk, proud, unemployed, and angry. Hear the eagle roar in Carcer City. This is what the heartland is all about.
Shut up and sit down.
Hello, everybody. Guess what? Here we are. It's a brand new episode. It's episode 395 of Third Shift. And I am one of the hosts. It's me. It's Mr. Eric. He's here today having an old good time. Just going, witty-woo, witty-woo. He's got a sword in hand. He's ready to smite his enemies, slay the betrayers. But I'll tell you what, there's another person with me today, and he ain't a betrayer. He's the other guy. He's the man, the myth, the legend, the inglorious bastard himself, the man with glasses. He's now joined the club. He's got them super cool sun guard glasses, you know, whatever they're called, them gaming glasses. He's got them. He's ready to rock and roll. It's Mr. Matt. He's hanging out. What are you doing, Matt? How's the week been? How do you feel wearing glasses now? Do you feel better? Do you feel more smarts?
Oh, I got glasses now. I shaved my hair down.
Yep, he's bald like me.
I'm like Eric. I've turned into Eric. Well, man, you know what? I don't know. I had to do a lot of stuff. The wife made me do things. I was out dancing with the children. I was doing all kinds of stuff. I really did pull these out and put them on the desk, though, because I used to edit the podcast with these on because I'm staring at a giant bright screen like for an hours at a time. And the last few times, my eyes are sore. Oh, hey, idiot, these that you bought
you have
like,
the glasses
12 years ago, you know, off of Woot. Everybody remember Woot, Woot.com?
It's still there. And they still have lots of sales.
I do actually know. I check the video game section like all the time.
Yeah,
like,
every few days. Yep.
Do I need like five more games because they're only about $20? I don't, but.
Do I need a controller?
The deal's for a month or until they're sold out. So I got a whole month. I can just sit here and check it.
This PlayStation controller is $10 off. Oh, maybe I need one.
Anyway, hello. It's me, everybody. Hi. It's me. It's Matt. I don't do an intro because he threw it to me, so it was a pretty good week, I guess. I feel like I did absolutely nothing this whole week, but over the weekend, not in the real life front, but only on the video game front. Man, boy howdy, did I ever stream Persona 3 Reload. 10 hours of streaming. If you missed it, you're a chump and I hate you. If you didn't miss it, you're the best and I love you.
I was sleeping. What do you want from me?
There's no excuse. As soon as you get that alert on your phone, you bolt awake, you run to the corner, you turn it on, you go click, 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 you open up six different windows, you grab your wife's iPad, you smack it out of her hand, you go, give me that iPad, you throw it on, then you go back to sleep. That's how you do it.
Spoiler alert, I was in a camper, so.
You run inside, is what I'm saying, and you do that.
To open the camper, go into the house,
yeah.
Turn on the laptop.
Every single screen there could possibly be. Wife, get off the TV. We got to put the smart TV onto the third shift. What's this about? Is that your stupid friend, Matt? Yeah, shut up. We got to get that money.
Got to get that money. Hustling, baby.
But that was a ton of fun. Like I said, the last time I did a stream, like last week or however long ago it was, I was just in the groove, and it feels good. It felt right, especially with the house being quiet, going for like 5 hours, finding weird personas like Omoikane, the brain with like the eyeball tentacle things and like little squid flappies. I was like, I've never seen this guy before in any Persona game I've ever played. He's my favorite. He's the best. And now he got outclassed and I had to fuse him into something else, but he's still got room in my heart. I saved a bunch of pictures of him. I'm like, you know, maybe when I just go no face avatars, I'm just going to be Omoikane brain guy. So cool, so much fun. Not much else to say about it, but it was a blast. Ryan Peterson did drop in the second stream for a long time, and it was cool hanging out with him, talking about Persona, and he did a stream of Dishonored that I jumped into. That was fun too. So go check him out, Ryan S. Peterson Games on Twitch. But also, I mean, check me out the most, but also check him out if I'm not around, and he's on. So that's cool. Other games that I did play, I won't mention it right now because we'll talk about it when Eric talks about it. Stellar Blade Demo. The demo came out last Friday, Good Friday at some point.
Yeah.
Played it, had some thoughts on it. We'll talk about it later. the other game that I've been playing, and I know what you're expecting, listeners. You're like, man, he's about to go into a big unicorn overlord love session. He's going to say, I can't talk much about it because Eric's been playing it. I haven't played it at all this week. Not at all. Because, A, Persona 3 Reload for 10 hours over 2 days, that was a lot. But, B, Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League dropped their first content pack, their free content pack, Season 1, the free character, the Joker, it dropped. I went, okay, I'm going to jump in. And everybody knows I like this game. I've enjoyed it from the jump. Maybe the technical test, I was a little iffy on some parts of it. When it came out, I went, man, this is really good. I played into it. I got into the live service elements. And then I fell off a little bit because it went, hey, get up to, I keep blanking on it. I keep wanting to call it Mayhem level, but it's not Mayhem level. Get up to Maximo level 5 difficulty, whatever it's called. I had it 5 minutes ago and I've forgotten it. Anyway, get up to 5. And I went, okay, this is going to unlock the next Brainiac. Got to 5, it unlocked a stage. It went, go beat the stage. I went, okay, that's going to unlock the next Brainiac. Beat the stage, it went, get up to level 10. I went, it's not going to unlock the next Brainiac, is it? And it didn't. But this did. The next content pack did. And I went, okay, here I go. Can I jump into that stage right now? No, you got to go play the different stages. You got to go play the different things. So I did that. And I had a lot of fun. Because the new Joker stuff, the new season stuff, it's all themed around Joker. So when you go into that Earth, the different Earth, it's all Joker-fized and Joker-sized. And is it super, like, totally different? No, but it's different enough. It's fresh. It's fun-looking. What I love, too, is the incursion events in this one, you're going and doing different stuff. Like, the other ones, there were, like, 4 to choose from, and they kind of got old quick because you're just churning through them. This one, there's, like, 5 or 6. And different levels of them now. There's hardcore, so if you get downed, you're out, you know, all that kind of stuff. I don't want to go too much into it, but I was having fun just doing that. Then I unlocked the Brainiac stage, fought Brainiac, got Joker. I love the characters in the default game, but playing as Joker is the most fun I've ever had with this game. And it's crazy, because if you watch the trailers of him, he's got this umbrella that he kind of floats around with, glides around, swoops around. Looked fun. I went, okay, you got him. There's no tutorial for how his stuff works. You just, hey, you're Joker now. Boom, here you go. So I hit one button, he kind of, whoop, did a flip, and then he was gliding. I went, okay. But there's also a different button you hit for specialized movement, traversal stuff. I hit that button, and he kind of like did a whoop. Okay, let me hold that button. He turns his little umbrella thing down and a flame starts spitting out the bottom of it. Oh, let me hit the jump button when I do this. It explodes. He goes head over heels, like ass over tea kettle, flying through the air. He's laughing. He's like flailing his arms and legs. He goes soaring, like super high. It is the most fun. Just blasting off as Joker, and then you can glide, you can swoop, you can fly around, you can double blast, so you blast up and then blast again. You're sailing through the skies as Joker. His traversal attack, his big special, he hops on top of his umbrella, it opens up, bombs everywhere. I am never on the ground with this dude. Because even if you like ADS, if you're up in the air, he'll pop open the umbrella and just slowly, like so slowly start gliding down. I'm in the air all the time with this guy. It's such a different play style and it's so much fun. And especially doing the different incursion events, there's one where it's just hordes of regular goons. Like no specialty goons, just hordes and hordes and hordes. I jump up, I'm throwing grenades down, I'm popping down this traversal thing. Every time I do it, it does so much damage because there's so many enemies and so many effects. It slows the game down to a crawl, but not in a bad way. In like a holy crap, look how awesome I am way. I've been staying up so late, just playing as the Joker. Playing through the same incursion things that I kind of got sick of in the base game. Just because playing as him is so much fun. I love it. I got the trophy for, not Mayhem, but Mayhem level 10 for that stuff. I'm getting new weapons now. I'm in the grind because just playing as him is so much fun. Like, not even the stuff is that fun. You know, I'm not gear motivated that much, but man, can I play as Joker again and have another wacky, wild time? Yeah, I can. Well, shit, I'm going to do that. I'm absolutely going to do that. I know it's a bit. I know Eric's going to be like, oh, man, Matt's the guy who loves terrible games. And I know Ryan Peterson's going to go, hey, you don't even like live service games. What's wrong with you? Live service games are dumb. I'm having a blast with it. I don't care. Nothing else matters. I'm just
blasting myself into the air, shooting these crazy weapons, dropping grenades. My build is so crazy, my traversal attack just generates forever. And I got grenades when I pop the squad ultimate, just grenade ammo. It's just shooting everywhere. So just boom, 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 grenades, explosions, umbrella. It's the best. It's been the best week just playing that. Just playing that over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. It's been great. What about you, Eric?
Ooh, well, let me tell you. It was quarter, and it's been a busy time for me, but I did have some fun. I got in there, and I played some Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I've told you all, I got to Cosmo Canyon. That's what I've been waiting for this whole time. Did all sorts of stuff. Did the old battle, where in the old one, if you hit revive, it was like an instant win. All right, you just hit revive, and all of a sudden, the big boss dropped. It didn't work, Matt. It didn't work. Now, it does damage the boss, but it doesn't kill the boss. So the cheat is not intact. You cannot do it as God intended you to do it, okay? However, it was still fun. And then it was like, all right, move on to the next session. Well, I'm not ready for that. I got to get through all the side quests here. I got to do all this stuff. And this is where the sadness hit. Because this is my least favorite zone now. Because the traversal in it requires this chocobo, and this chocobo can do some floats and flies and stuff. So everything, of course, naturally cannot be just on the ground easy. Everything is, hey, I'm up on this peak over here. I'm on this canyon spot over here. I'm on this peak over here. You have to figure out how to use your chocobo to fly from this point, which has a secret little nook to jump over here, to fly over here, to fly, 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 fly. I'm spending hours just trying to figure out how I'm supposed to get to one spot. This has not happened in any of the other zones. All of the other zones, the Gungaga got a little confusing. It was like kind of labyrinth in the jungles and stuff, but still not even remotely as difficult as Cosmo Canyon has proven to be. And it's so annoying that I've actually considered just giving up and not doing it all. And that sucks. Because up until this point, I was all in. I'm doing every side quest, every side mission, getting every point of interest. It's happening. And then I got here and I'm just grunging through this stuff, just sitting there staring at spots. I'm right below it, up on this dumb peak, and going, I don't know. What? How am I going to get to this one? Oh, I see that. If I run over there, climb that, jump to that one, traverse. And I'm not kidding you. They got you. They'll have you go across one whole map size to come all the way back via this hoppy jump, jump, jump stuff to get to this point. And I'm like, this isn't fun. I feel like you're wasting my time now. You're just wasting my time. And that I don't like. So my favorite zone, Matt, my favorite area, the beats are kicking, everything's popping. And now it's turned out to be my least favorite zone.
I wonder if later on there's going to be like a black chocobo, like just a pure fly chocobo, and you can come back and just hit.
And call it a day.
Maybe, yeah,
not
hopefully.
Not even worry about it.
Yeah.
I'm hoping so, but I'm not going to take that chance, Matt, because I'm a psycho.
Yeah.
So I'm going to sit here and just keep trudging through until I get them all. But I just wanted to gripe for a minute. You know, overall, the game's fantastic. I've already told you all a million times. Storyline, we're about to go do something extremely cool, and I already know who's going to get involved, and I can't wait to see how it goes and what happens. So, very excited for it, which is also another reason why I keep going, just move on. Just move on, Eric. Go do the really cool, fun story bit. You're fine. You're fine. And I go, no. Because what they did, Matt, to keep you here, is you know what the summon for Cosmic Canyon is? It's Bahamut.
Oh, well.
So I can't leave. I have to do this.
You should have led with that. I wouldn't have even said go back and come back. You know, you have to stay. Yeah.
Yeah, I have to stay. I have to do it. Now, of course, people say, well, Eric, you could just do Bahamut. You don't have to get all the little tidbits. But I'm a sissy pants, and I want Bahamut, first off, to be really easy when I fight him, because, of course, it weakens him every time you get one of his intels. And secondly, every time you get one of his little intels, he gets more abilities. So I want him at max power, and I want him super weak when I fight him, so I don't have to sit there and do try-hard mode. I don't care. I don't care what you say. It's a double whammy of goodness for me. So, yes, I know I can just go get him right now and beat him and just move on, but he won't be as powerful as he needs to be. He won't have his mega flare, and I need that, all right? And I want him to be easy because it's fun. It's just fun beating him up and not worrying about it. So, anyways, that's been the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Honestly, this week, not much game time. As you all know, I did quarter in, as I alluded to earlier. I was sleeping in a camper.
So most nights, most mornings I get back and I turn it on and I'd say, I'm going to game. And I would game for maybe 30 minutes at best and be like, I don't know, maybe I'll try to watch a show instead. Watch half a show, fall asleep, do the little nod, and then go, okay, nope, just turn it off, go to bed, let's just get this over with. So that's kind of what happened most of the time. Beyond that, there's two other things, and I'll get to one before I get to the last we can kind of talk about a little bit. Was I went and saw Tom Green. So, funny story. All right, my brother gets a hold of me like a month ago. He goes, hey, Tom Green's coming to Lansing. Holy crap. He's never come to Lansing. First time ever. In fact, he rarely even travels and does comedian stuff as it is. I love Tom Green. Love, 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 love Tom Green. Said, okay, yeah, sure, man. We got to go. I don't hang out with my brother too much. So, hey, you're inviting me to do something. Let's do it. Great. Then I find out Shay's going. And I go, oh, you're going too? Yeah, my brother invited me to go. I said, oh, well, that's weird. My brother invited me to go. That's cool. Well, I guess we'll meet up there. That sounds great. Cool beans. Month goes by. Day of shows, Monday. Monday night, 7 p.m. All right. I get there. I text my brother the day of, hey, I'm going to try to get there at 6:45. You know, that way we can get in there, you know, get a spot, do whatever we got to do. Didn't get a response. Nothing happened. Okay, whatever. Going to get there. So I get there. Shay goes, hey, man, my brother ditched. I'm like, oh, that sucks. What happened? Well, I don't know. He's talking about coming at like 8:30, you know, whatever. I'm like, oh, that's a bummer. And I go, he goes, is Brian still going? I don't know. I texted him and he never responded. Get there, park, get out. Still no text. Still nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Me and Shay go in. Awesome time. Awesome time. Two comedy acts before Tom Green. Both fantastic. Both really cool. The only downfall is a gray wall hall or whatever here in Lansing. Never heard of it until this. Super nice, really awesome setup. Can't wait to go there and check out some other stuff. And the downfall, though, is they had, like, alcohol, 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 marijuana, 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 everywhere. No, just pop. No, just pops. Red Bulls and alcohol. I'm like, what is going on? What is happening here? Can I just get a Pepsi? Why do I got to buy either alcohol or Red Bull or, you know, $5 bottled water? What the hell's going on? So, anywho's, that's my only complaint about the place. Come on, people. Get a fountain drink thing and charge a little bit less for some freaking just pop.
Plus, fountain drink is just money hand over foot. Yeah. It's two squirts 2 cents of syrup into a giant thing, and you sell it for $5, and there you go.
Oh, yeah. So, it's, I don't know. It just makes money. Get smart. Get that going. Anywho's, never got it. Had a great time, though. Tom Green was just fantastic. A couple hecklers, you know, throughout the night, and he just wrangled them up. He just smoked them, did what he had to do. We're all laughing, having a good time. And then, of course, had to directly leave there, go to work. So, and then by the morning, I'd forgotten the show had happened. You know how quarter in goes. Mm-hmm. So it was like, all this fun just went, hey, I'm fun. And I was like, wow, I did a thing, but I have like these weird bubbly memories of it because it was all just transposed into this mess.
It's almost like you were there super drunk.
Yeah.
But you weren't.
But I was.
Because now it's just like slices, the little vertical slices of fun thing you did. Mm-hmm. But it just, that was, I kind of, yeah. I remember when he said pickles.
That was a great moment. I laughed so hard I was cracking up. But then I was pissed off about Jenny at work. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. So that did happen, and it was a great time. So in between all the woes and yicks, I had a good time. The only other thing I did this week was I played that Stellar Blade demo, just like you said, Matt. And you kind of came and I said, hey, how was it? And you had some thoughts on it. And I'll just start by saying I had a great time. I really enjoyed it.
Good.
You know, and I understood what the beginning is. It's simple. You know, you're just attacking and parrying and dodging, and it was just giving you the basics. And then you get to that boss, and it just goes, oh, yeah, this game is hard. So just so you know, it's challenging. Because beforehand, to be honest with you, you know, I died a few times. It's not like I'm super good. No, I did die. But after sitting there and just watching the enemy do their little set and do what they do, I started to go, okay, get it. I see when they do this, just dodge, parry. This one doesn't like it. If you parry, you have to dodge this move, otherwise she's going to wreck you. So it's just a few little mental notes, and off I went to the races. There was tons of stuff to explore and find. You know, you could go off on all sorts of little tangents, and they rewarded you. They'd put, like, either, you know, chests there themselves, or they'd put dead people with their codes, And then they'd put your fellow Stellar Blade members who perished there to get your upgrades for you. So I appreciated the fact that they had the environment open to you and allowed you just to kind of wander about and find fun things. So overall, I was impressed with it. I will say the last boss, I didn't do the bonus stuff yet, Matt, but the boss in the actual demo proper, oh man, it really did piss me off because I kept getting like 20%. And then he just keep doing the lightning thing over and over. Mm-hmm. And I was having trouble figuring out how to get past that. It was annoying, but we got there and we had a good time with it. I'm stoked overall for the game.
Yeah, I think overall I am looking forward to it, but it's not what I thought it was going to be. Because, I mean, we mentioned it on the show last week, I think, is when we were talking about it. And you were saying, oh, people were saying it's like a Souls-like. And I went, ah, yeah, that's just people saying it. They're going to say that about every character action game. But it's not a character action game. It is a Souls-like.
It is actually like a Souls-like.
So I went up to that first dude. Your first enemies are like little tick things. And I was like, whoosh, 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 whoosh. Yeah, tick things, got them. And you get up to the first dude. And I was like, all right, here I go. Whap, 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 whap. Thump, whump. Half dead. And went, oh, no, I don't. This is a Souls-like. I never died except for at the boss, but I did pop like all the heals. Mm-hmm. And I went, okay, all my heals are going to regenerate. Now, when I get to the thing and you put the thing in, no, only the little regenerate thing did. And I was very sad, but I didn't die until I got to the boss. And I don't know, it felt weird because you can block, you can parry, you can dodge. But so many of that boss's attacks, obviously it's the first time you see him, you're seeing him fresh. If you parried this attack, it would automatically hit you with this follow-up attack because the parry takes you too long to recover from. Even though I was pressing the button to parry the next one, she still goes, whoa, I got hit. So that's what I was getting frustrated with. Like, I know I can do this. Like, I know what I'm doing. I know the timing of this attack and the follow-up, but you just can't do it. And I was like, I want to either parry or I want to dodge. I don't want to block the first one, then parry the second one. And now I have the window. I want ping, ping, ping. You know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So that's where my frustration got with the boss. And like you said, that lightning attack was total BS, except for I think it was maybe like the third time when I actually got him down. You know, your camera is kind of zoomed in on her and the boss. For some reason, it tilted down when he was doing it. Maybe I was trying to panic dodge roll and whip the camera around. But it was pointed down so you could see all the little spots on the floor where it was going to hit. Because I thought it was just keep dodge with timing, but it was actually specific mm-hmm. spots on the floor. So I got out of it that way. But like I told you, once you beat that boss, it unlocks like here's another boss from later in the game and you have more abilities. And I thought that was super fun because you got more dodges. You got bigger window. Well, I didn't need the bigger window for the dodge, but you got like two dodges in a row nice and fast. You got two parries in a row nice and fast. You got more of those charge-up attacks you could do. That felt right. I mean, it was still Soulsy. I still died on him, I think, two times, maybe three times. So it was still difficult and still, you know, you had to parry, you had to dodge, you had to do the counterattacks. But there's another one you can do on that boss. It felt like between Souls and maybe not Devil May Cry, but that kind of a game. It felt more right. It felt more what I was looking for. So overall excited. I don't know if I'm like sold, but I'm interested in it. And it looks like something that I will love, especially once you start unlocking stuff in that skill tree. Because that second boss was so much fun. You should play it after we're done with this. Go check it out.
I'm going to tell you, though, I'm surprised you're still not sold because that music, man, was just straight up mm-hmm, near. Mm-hmm. I mean, 100% straight up. And the environment itself. If you were going to explore and reading all the documents and taking, you know, going up to the piano, and that was just straight out of here, 100%. You know, mankind's gone, fallen, and you're this robot, you know, AI, whatever, and you're just like, why would they put all this information in these stupid books? You know, it's like, it's a waste of space. And, you know, just all these offhanded comments about these humans who are, of course, dead and gone. And that vibe was 100% there.
I think I was just so grumpy that it actually was a Souls game, and I didn't get to just swish and swirl around with, like, mm-hmm. cool action blades. And then, I mean, just for me, you didn't see it a lot, but, like, the intro scene where your whole squad dies, and you're like, oh, I'm teaming up with this chick. Cool. We're the two most beautiful people on the planet. Here we go. And then she just gets hacked to pieces, and there's blood and viscera yeah. everywhere. And I went, I mean, that's what a Souls game would do, but I don't like seeing a beautiful person cut up. Make it be like some ugly dude. Now I'm down with it.
Make him dead and she sticks around. We're friends. It's going to be a great time.
Or if there are these weird, twisted, ripped open monster things, just let me action swish and swirl around. I want to be Bayonetta. I don't want to be having a Souls time. So I think that made me grumpy, but I feel like knowing what I'm getting into.
Oh, yeah. So overall, good stuff. Like Matt said, get out there and check it out. We both did. Had a good time overall with it. So, hey, with that being said, is there anything else people can have a good time with, Matt?
Oh, boy. So you're sold. You're excited for Stellar Blade. Let me sell you on another game, because this game is called Beat Slayer, which drops today as we're recording this on the 4th, developed by Byte Rockers Games, published by Byte Rockers and Paris Games for only the PC. This is only a $20 game, and I'm going to tell you, this is an Eric Batten game. Let me tell you, I'm selling you on it right now.
Oh, good.
It takes place in like 90s dystopian Berlin. You play as this tough, redheaded, cool chick, anti-authority. You know, there's like the big brother watching out, oppressing all the people.
Oh, yeah.
The music is all like industrial techno. It's beating, it's bumping, it's cool. You're fighting the authority. You got robots, giant robots are coming out. You're fighting them. And this is a rhythm game roguelike. Get it, Eric. Get it. Don't. Come on.
You
now.
Just pulled out both guns and went pow, pow.
That's exactly it. But as soon as I saw rhythm-based roguelike, I went, tell me all about it. Tell me all about it. And I Googled, boom, Beat Slayer review. And I came up empty. And I went to YouTube and I went, Beat Slayer review. And I came up empty. And I went to my indie game channel. I went, surely they've at least talked about it. No. As of now, as we're recording this, like right as I got home, I checked again. There are now like 4 text-based reviews up online. And they don't say much. Like one of them is one of those AI-generated nonsense ones that repeats paragraphs. It's terrible. But I'm going to tell you, if you like Hades, this is an isometric perspective, roguelike, you're dashing, you're attacking to the beat. I got to tell you, the atmosphere in this one, it's really nice, though, because it's that, like I said, dystopian 90s Berlin. Everything's kind of run down, but like that 1984 George Orwell type of thing. There's giant robots that you're fighting, and the music is bumping, and you're attacking to the beat. And if you were bad at attacking to the beat, it doesn't even matter that much. If you attack to the beat enough, you unlock like a hyper mode, so you do more damage. But if you just can't attack to the beat, you can still get by. And it's a roguelike. Once you finish your run, once you die, you go back to your hub base. You've got a bunch of friends in there that unlock new skills. You can unlock 3 different types of weapons. Basically, the whole Hades loop, you can do that here. And the presentation and the vibe, it's like kind of an indie comic, like rough ink outlines everybody's got. Everybody's talking in, you know, comic book bubbles. But there is voice acting, and it's pretty good so far from what I've seen. So if any of that sounds interesting to you, check it out. It sounded interesting to me. I believe there's a demo on Steam. There was at least for the Steam Next Fest. I have to assume that's still available. So if that sounds interesting, check it out. I'm interested in it. Maybe not for a full 20 because I got so many games going on right now. But I like the vibe. The music is cool. Dashing and hitting stuff to the beat. It sounds and it feels good. Kind of like Hi-Fi Rush did, but not to that super extreme. But if you like Hades and you like rhythm games, it's an awesome combination. And it looks like a small development team. If you like industrial techno, if you like a cool comic book vibe, if you like roguelites and rhythm games, check out Beat Slayer. And if you like it, write a review of it so we can have a proper review online. Do a video review so you can see it on YouTube and see it in action like I always say, because I had to find like the trailer for it. If you like it, buy it, play it, record it, let me watch it. It looks cool. Beat Slayer.
Now, I've got a game for you that's similar in this, in the sense that finding it and getting words and descriptors and reviews was challenging. There was a couple, though. So at least I came out ahead of the game rather than bankrupt like you did. And that is, of course, a little game called Withering Rooms. Now, the only reason I'm going to talk about this game is because it struck me a little chord of the past. A little playing game called Clock Tower. And they showcased, which I'll talk to you in a minute about it, but they showcased this part that got me was where this giant monstrosity, chain-wielding dude, was just running at the character, the main character, and you jumped into a cabinet, and you closed the doors, and you hid. And I went, oh, no way. This is going to be great. So I went and looked it up. Now, you are Nightingale. You're a little gal, and you're in this huge Victorian, old Victorian mansion, like the Mostyn Mansion, something like that. All right. and you want to get out. Or maybe you don't. Maybe you want to do something else. As time in the mansion will tell, maybe you'll become its master. It's a 2.5D, you know, little contraption type game, side scrolling. Now, what got me going was, like I said, the hiding thing. But guess what, everybody? One thing I don't like, or maybe I do, is that the mansion itself changes every day, man. So every night, procedurally generated, all the rooms switch around. And not only just rooms, you're going to go into the gardens, you're going to go into the ruins, you're going to go into the cathedral area, you're going to go into the tomb area. All these things change every night that you're stuck inside of this mansion. And are you, Nightingale, you want to get out. So you're traversing these hallways, going to the doors. Like I said, it's 2.5, so you'll get the animation where there's a door, and then you turn into the door, and then you go into the door, and then it opens up another 2.5D screen that you can traverse going left and or right. And the whole while, you're going to encounter like 30-plus NPCs that either can help you, some will deceive you, you can deceive them. The relationships kind of fluctuate, you know, as the game progresses. There's undead, witches, ghosts, monstrosities of all kinds, the chain-wielding dude, like I said, and they're all there to kill you and ruin your day. You don't want that. But of course, like I said, with those NPCs, some of them are those monstrosities, some of them are those witches, and they'll tell you secrets on how to get out of this mansion or solve different puzzles, because guess what? There's puzzles in this game too, Matt. You're going to have to solve fun little puzzles to get into different areas and find and unlock things, which could get you up to 4 different endings, depending on what you do, depending on how you get out, depending on who you screw over, don't screw over, and who helps you, that kind of thing. But what I really liked was just the fact that, like earlier I said, you could hide and stuff, and you know, the monsters come by and go away, but it's not just that. You do get weapons. You get spells. You get items. You get necklaces. You get, you know, all sorts of different items or things, I should say, throughout the game to make you actually powerful. So you're not just running and hiding and waiting for something to kill you or you get away. No, you can defend yourself. You can put on armor, do all sorts of fun things to make yourself a bad man pajama. Like I saw her in one of the trailers. She has a freaking pistol and she's just shooting monsters and they're just dropping dead. And I'm like, that's awesome. You know what I mean? That's just cool to see that, hey, you may only have a few rounds, but it's a true pistol. When you shoot something, it dies because, you know, it's got a hole through its brain. It's kind of how, or whatever, you know, body. So it was really neat to see that. And there's other, of course, weapons and things you can use throughout the game. All in all, I was surprised. You know, this week was pretty slim pickings. Me and Matt talked about it. And I was like, well, I don't know what the hell's out this week, to be honest with you. Saw this, got in there, and was like, man, this is actually very interesting. And because it's procedurally generated, I feel like this is like that perfect Halloween time streamer game. Pick this up, have just a hoot. There's like hundreds of different, according to the website, hundreds of different monsters. And so the variety is there. The fun is there. You know, the randomness is all there. And then, of course, you get to choose whether to deceive characters, not deceive characters. So I feel like this is one of those games that could really shoot out and become one of those streaming things for like 3 weeks where everybody's playing and having a good time with. So hopefully they get their eyes on this game. It was developed by Moonless Formless. I don't know who that is. I haven't seen anything from them before. But it's just it's a smaller game made by obviously a developer who's not super well known, unless I'm crazy and mistaken. Maybe I'm just not in that niche. But it is out October 5th, so tomorrow or today, whatever, whenever you're listening to this, you're going to be able to play this damn thing. And it's on PlayStation 5, PC, Xbox Series X, and Series S for you.
So now...
I said October. Now it's
out. I was going to say, I know you're in the Halloween vibe, Eric. You've been saying it's a perfect Halloween game. It's not. It's not even close. It's springtime, brother.
It's April. Oh, my God. Where are we, Matt? It's quarter, and I don't know where we're at. All right.
No, I mean, there is an October quarter in, so I guess it's fine.
April 5th. All right. There you go. It's out now. Get out there and check it out. There, like I said, there's not a ton of reviews and a ton of word of mouth yet on this one. But from what I saw, it did look fun for, you know, for what it is. Just, you know, going understanding it's a smaller developer, but looked really cool nonetheless.
So now here's the point in the show where we always jump to a news topic, a reveal showcase, a something of this or that and the other thing. And I did my due diligence, as I always do. I always say I'm the best podcast host or co-host in history. I went to Google and I said gaming news, and it brought up all the gaming news sites. And I clicked on one, and what were their top 10 articles? Because it's been such a heavy news week. Oh, hey, check it out. Here's some upcoming games for the Nintendo Switch. Okay, that's the top one. Okay, so the Switch department had a slow news week. What's the next one? Here's some top exciting games that are coming out sometime this year for the PlayStation. Okay, so PlayStation side didn't have any news either. What's the next one? Here's the top games coming out for the Xbox. Same thing with PC, same thing with mobile, same thing with this. That. Those were the top hits, like the latest news stories. That's not even a news story. Is there no news? There's no news. There's no news. There's nothing going on.
There's really nothing going on besides a few games coming out here and there. Embracer apparently is all done getting rid of companies, selling developers and publishers off. They've said that they've gotten where they need to be. So, hey, maybe they're going to bounce back at this point. Maybe they were finally getting some stabilization going in that wonderful little entity.
And there's an official follow-up. If you're not in the Discord to see the note, if you didn't look in the show notes of last week's episode to look in the notes, because last week was the Embracer and Gearbox sale, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I had said originally when we recorded it, but I think I had cut it out because I couldn't confirm it anywhere. They said that Gearbox Publishing San Francisco was going to get shuttered, but it might have been renamed or something. And then as soon as the show was done and I was editing it, it seemed like Gearbox Publishing itself, like as a whole, might be gone, like all of it.
Oh, wow.
I can't tell if Gearbox Publishing San Francisco was like the main arm of it, mm-hmm. but all over Twitter were people for all from Gearbox Publishing saying, we're getting out, we're off. Out, yeah. This is out. The like the user research guy that I follow was going, oh my God, heartbroken for all my Gearbox Publishing peeps. So I can't confirm that it's like all gone, but it seems like it's all gone just from the way that the Twitter was popping.
Well, and I do know a lot of the entities that they were publishing do belong now to Embracer, like Remnant. Remnant is now Embracer. So So maybe that's actually true. I don't know 100% either.
Yeah, maybe they just scooped it and then closed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's indeed possible. And I know Andrew, who I follow, was with Gearbox. He's also gone and moving on. So, you know, quite a bit of that's happening. It kind of went under the radar. I didn't really, you know, I didn't see a big, like, right now they got that death count on developers getting laid off and whatnot, and I didn't really see the newest Gearbox one apparently hit yet. Mm. But I haven't paid attention in a few days, obviously due to quarter end, so
yeah.
I'll be sure to take a peek at it. And it's unfortunate if that happened, because I felt like the publishing side was doing great things. They were rocking it out.
And doing really interesting things. Like so many different, like we always say for Gearbox themselves, so many different genres, small things, larger things. Remnant 2 was huge and they were sort of involved in that. And then mm-hmm. you go to like...
Risk of Rain they were involved in. What's that one with the doe and the deer and the fox? They were involved in that one.
The detective, Benedict.
The
demon detective guy, the girl with the red eyes. That mm-hmm. whole thing was going on. So definitely small stuff to big stuff. So if that whole thing is gone, it's certainly less Gearbox news for us to talk about, because now Gearbox is just...
developer again. And Randy's gone into, which I agree, I think smart, don't get me wrong, but he's gone into, we don't talk about our stuff we're doing anymore until it's going to come out. So it's hard to talk about Gearbox, which, you know, opening up the curtain is just a smidgen. That's why we kind of had to move away from that, because there's just not much to talk about anymore. Beyond when the games hit, because they don't, you know, they're not previewing the game and letting you get all crazy with it and go to Conjecture Island and all this other stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. We're kind of just stuck here waiting, and then they go, oh, the game's coming out in 2 weeks. And then you're like, oh, okay, well, I guess here we go. Mm-hmm. So it's been a bummer, but I totally understand, you know, why he did that. And there was just all sorts of issues, as you all know, back in the day with him talking about games too early. But, yeah, I hope that's not true. I hope there's still a publishing arm somewhere in the Gearbox branch, and it was just like a section of it that got cut with some of its games going bye-bye maybe. I guess we'll have to do our due diligence, try to get some homework, do some digging, and figure that one out for sure.
And I mean, regardless, still sucks for the people who did get
for sure
out of there. But like you said, hopefully there is still some semblance of it. I have a feeling that there's not, though, because when you're reading the 2K thing, it talks about software and entertainment, and it doesn't talk about publishing. So the movie and the software. But, I mean, obviously, like you said, if Embracer owns all that stuff, maybe they can get a little publishing thing going on and start...
and sell some of the titles off to different people.
Yeah, and I mean, they have been doing that, so hopefully it just continues and they can get big stuff, small stuff, all stuff in between, and just keep helping out those smaller studios to get the word out about these cool games, like these two games. If not for us, would you have ever heard about Beat Slayer and Withering Rooms? I don't know. So if not for publishing companies getting the word out, who knows? You know, this stuff just goes out on Steam in the giant deluge of Steam releases.
And you hope it gets seen. Yep. And the last thing I'll mention for today, Matt, is a little nugget I told you at work. Was, hey, if you didn't know, you know how magazines used to exist? You'd read magazines, gaming magazines, you'd have all sorts of fun, and it's pretty much gone. Well, the only one left was Game Informer. But as you all well know, you had to go through GameStop and sign up to their Power Up and all this other crap to get into the Game Informer world. You don't have to do that anymore. So just in case you're curious or want some nostalgic hits and you want to get a physical magazine, which has beautiful covers and beautiful and really good articles. I mean, so I'm not, I'm serious. It's going to be cool. I got it. You go to GameInformer.com, and they got a whole big old shtick right on the main page. It's, hey, we're selling our own magazine from here now. No strings attached. Come on in, 1991, for 10 issues of Game Informer. I went, you know what? The hell with this. This sounds great. It's a good deal. I'm going to get some awesome magazines with all sorts of cool articles, cover art, etc. Maybe I'll even get lucky. Maybe I'll throw in one of the posters in one of them, or something, and I'll have a cool poster, just like the days of yore. I don't know if Game Informer does that, but here's to hoping. I don't know.
And like we talked about kind of with Kotaku last week, you're supporting like good video game journalism. They've been around for a long time. This is where you get a lot of, preview, like exclusive previews, big long stories about it. We talk about how previews are just fluff pieces anyway, but you get the exclusive word, boom, right here. And you're supporting the kind of video game journalism you want to see. And like you said, man, a physical magazine to actually leaf through. Like, I know there's been digital magazines, but I can't get behind that. I just can't.
Yeah, just never, it wasn't the same.
Even if you're reading it on an iPad, then your eyes hurt, and then you got to wear these f***ing glasses so you don't get eye strain because you're looking at a digital screen that's glaring at you. So I can't wait for you to get it so that you can bring it into work like 2 days later and go, here you go, dude. I didn't want to bring it to you, but I'm like, thanks, buddy. Ha ha, flip, flip, flip.
That was going to be cool.
It'll be so cool.
Yeah, so go support them, unlike Matt. And pay that $19.91 for 10 issues of some Game Informer. And no, they're not sponsoring us, but, I just got to shout out. Get some old school magazines in there. That's a good damn time. And the main reason I did it in this last note was because there's so many times they talk about having a really great interview with a developer, and it's in the magazine. And obviously, I never had the magazine. So I'm like, well, what was that interview all about? And I'll get, like, the highlights, because on their webpage, they'll put, like, the highlights of it and stuff. But in that magazine, I'll get the whole damn thing. I'll get to read the whole interview from top to bottom and hear about whatever this developer's yapping about for their game and whatever they're just talking about. I don't care. It's just going to be great.
And honestly, I am tempted. I probably will do it because 1991 for a year's worth of content, you're never going to find a magazine for $1.99 anywhere. Like, literally anywhere.
Period.
You go find, like, a comic book at the bookstore for, like, $5 for, like, 8 sheets, saddle-stitched, so 16 sheets total.
Mm-hmm.
That's a crazy deal. I'm going to have to do it. I know that was basically the deal before anyway, but I don't want to be associated with the GameSpot and go in and say, hey, man, you got your Power Up Rewards card and all that. So I'll probably just do it, but I want you to get the first one, and then I'll do it. That's what I'll do.
Yeah. That is, in fairness, what he said. Get the first one. Let me see it. As long as it's cool, I'm going to do it, too.
Yeah.
And, of course, you did the famous, Matt. You did it. You said GameSpot, not GameStop. Oh, I love it.
That shows how often I'm there,
I know. But I do it, too. And it's just, and everybody does it. Everybody I listen to is just, you start talking about those two, and it's inevitable.
Well, the last time I was there, if you remember, it was a December 26th because I'm not an idiot and returned my Christmas presents. And I went there to pick up one thing that like came out 2 days beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a line 6 hours long of people arguing about the games they had to return. And grandma sent me this, but I don't have a receipt. You didn't get it from grandma. Then she didn't get it from here. And it was back and forth that I was standing there going nuts before I had my noise canceling headphones. And I said, never again. That's why I don't know the name of that place because I'm never going back again. And that was like 6 years ago. Never. No.
They should have just stuck with Babbage's.
Yeah.
Who else is named Babbage's? Nobody.
That's right.
They should have stuck with that. Or Funko Land at the very worst. Who's going to say Funko Land? Nobody. Of all the names you picked GameStop. Did you not know? Was GameSpot around at that time? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe GameSpot came in later, and so there, it's not GameStop's fault. Maybe then. I don't know. Do your homework, everybody listening. That's your homework. Let us know who came first, chicken or the egg.
And let us know how bad Funko Land has screwed you over. when you bought something for $80 and they took it back for two. No, get out of here. There are so many Super Nintendo games I wish I still had because they only gave me, well, to be fair, they gave me like $10. And as a kid, you're like, whoa, $10? I'd never play this game. And now if I had it, I could sell it for like $300. Anyway, hey, let us know all that stuff. Any kind of questions, comments, concerns, any kind of feedback at all, hit us up via the email, thirdshiftme@gmail.com, on the Twitter machine at thirdshiftme. Find us on Facebook, hit up the Discord, the Patreon. Hit up the stream if I'm ever streaming again. Hit up Howard's house. I didn't even say my house. Go to Howard's house, knock on the door, say, hey, sir, are you eating a burger? Can I offer you some ketchup? And then I'll tell you something to tell the third shift guys. And they'll go, woo, ketchup. And then something to tell the boys, yeehaw, I'll do it. Just do that.
You should do that. Make sure it's super sweet ketchup because that's the kind Howard likes. Super sweet ketchup.
And especially jump over there. If you're good at Resident Evil 4, the remake, go to Howard's house. He will have something for you to do. I guarantee it.
Yep. You'll sell him ketchup and he'll have an opportunity for you to help out. It's going to be a fantastic win-win scenario. And while you're doing that, or before maybe, preferably before, go to Patreon. You know what? Be like, hey, those guys are having a good time. I'm having a good time. Let's throw them a few bucks. Whoop, whoop, whoo. Money right out your wallet. Right out your wallet. Right into our wallet. And then we go, hey, we're paying the bills. Boop, 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 boop. Doing the thing. Everybody's happy. It's a win-win scenario for you, for us. You get a couple extra shows. It's a fun time. It's a little tip in the old tip jar, and we appreciate it so very much. And but you might be saying, I cannot possibly do that. I just listen to you, and then I turn you off, and I don't pay attention to you again until the next week. Hey, 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 well, we got you. Don't turn out yet. Don't turn off this damn show yet. I told you before, get over there and just click a 5-star rating for us real quick. That's it. 15 more seconds. 15. Go. Now. I don't care if you come back and listen. Just go do it. 15 seconds. 5-star ratings. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
And you mentioned money going in the wallet. I still haven't reimbursed myself for the Podbean yet, so I have to do that after this episode. But after this episode, you need to be listening to the very next episode, which will be dropping on or around the 11th of April, the day before the boys go on and do the thing. Before we jet off and have a wonderful time, laughs will be had. It'll be a magical time for the boys. Unlike this time, which was after an unmagical time for Eric, it'll be before a magical time for everybody. And you can find that episode on iTunes and Stitcher, on Podbean, on Spotify, and on YouTube. And as I always say, hey, if you like what we're doing, you'd like to help us out, please give us a like, a rating, review, a comment, a subscription, any kind of good thing on any of those good services, because it does help us out. And we really do appreciate it.
We do indeed appreciate it so very much, just like we appreciate those 5-star reviews I've been telling you about and told you about. Get out there. Summer's coming, man. We want to get up in the charts. We're getting crazy. Matt's wearing glasses now. We're both bald. We both got goatees. We're matching up. We're synchronizing even more. We're about to go eat sushi and maybe talk about ideas for the show and have a good time in general. You know what? If we saw some 5-star reviews right before we ate that sushi, I bet that sushi would motivate us to have the best damn idea you ever had. I promise you that. I promise you that. So get in there, get us them 5-star ratings before we eat that sushi, so that way the magic can flow from within the bellies and come hurling out of our mouth at just insane speeds, and the ideas will just be flying, I'm telling you.
Even though I'm the one who mentioned the sushi has been pushing for sushi, I forgot. In between the last time, right before the show when we talked about it, and now you mentioned sushi, I went, oh yeah, it is almost sushi time. So yes, make my life all over again by the 5-star before the sushi. It'll be the best day of my whole life. And until the best day of my whole life, there's nothing else to say but...
Shut up and sit down.